All right, beginning here on the top of Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph, four lines down. Gemara is continuing to discuss the issues of Shoel. Remember that the three parshiot that are mentioned in Parshat Mishpatim, you have Ki Yitein Ish El Re'ehu Kesef O Kelim, the first parshiah, which we said is discussing Shomer Chinam. We have the second parshiah, which is Ki Yitein Ish El Re'ehu Chamor Oshor Osev Chol Be'imal Ishmor, which was speaking about a Shomer Sachar. And then we have the third parshiah, which is V'chi Yishal Ish Me'im Re'ehu Benishbar Omeit Ba'alav Enimo Shalem Yishalem. So the only thing that the third parshiah of Shoel addresses is the case of Nishbar Omeit. What is missing is Gneva Vaveda, as well as Shvuya. So the Gemara wants to clarify what is the din with regards to these items for a Shoel. Gneva Vaveda B'Shoel Minolon. How do we know that Gneva Vaveda by a Shoel, he should be Chayav? Remember that by a Shoel, we say either Kol Hana'a Shelo or Rov Hana'a Shelo, and therefore he's responsible for everything. The Torah only mentions Shvura Umeita. So where do they know that Gneva Vaveda he's also Chayav for? Why don't we learn it out from Shvura Meita? Shvura Meita are cases of Ones. Are cases of Ones because it either broke down or it died. Those aren't things that are within his control. Gneva Aveda are areas where he could have taken preventative measures. He might be close to being a Posheya by the case of Aveda. So maybe you would say, I mean, Kal V'chomer that he should be Chayav. Malish Shvura Meita Dolo Efshar L'Mitrach V'atuye. Wait a minute, maybe Shvur Meita, there he is Chayav because there's no other alternative, which is, you can't replace it. Whatever happened here, happened and is a permanent problem. If the animal dies, there's nothing you can do to bring the animal back. If the animal is damaged, there's no way they're going to change the outcome of that situation. Tomar b'gneva v'aveda d'efshel mitrach v'etuye. Maybe by the case of gneva v'aveda, he could be patur, the shomer, here the shoel, because the alim could find it. If they make a great effort, if they try hard enough, they might be able to retrieve the item from Gneva Vaveda. The key difference is that Gneva and Aveda might be temporary situations where it could be rectified, you could solve the problem. So here you have an option to say that the Shoel would be patur and let the balim deal with it. Ela ki hadetanya. It's from this braita. Vinishbar omeit. In the Elish Vural Meita, Gneva Veda Minayin. So they're asking exactly our question. We have Nishbar and Meit that are mentioned in the Pasuk by Shoel. Where do you know Gneva and Aveda from? Amart Kavachomer. It is a Kavachomer, but not from Shvural Meita, but a Kavachomer from Shomer Sachar. Ma Shomer Sachar Shpatur Mishvural Meita. A Shomer Sachar who is Patur from Unsin. By Shvural Meita, which is Ones, he is Patur. But nevertheless, chayav b'gneva v'aveda, he's still chayav b'gneva v'aveda, shoel, shchayav b'shvura meita, a shoel who is chayav b'onsin, enu din shchayav b'gneva v'aveda, he certainly should be chayav by gneva v'aveda. V'zehu kal v'chomer she'en alav tshuva. This is such a strong kal v'chomer that there is no undermining this logic that is embedded in this kal v'chomer, which is that a shoel is more chamur than a shomer sachar. Therefore, if a Shomer Sachar is Chayav in Gneva Aveda, it would be obvious that a Shoel should be also Chayav in Gneva Aveda. So Mar says, Ma ein alav tshuva. Anytime the Braita has to say to you, there is no answer to this, that means that there was an answer, and they disregarded it. Otherwise, they wouldn't need to tell you that ein alav tshuva, that it's obvious that it's a logical argument. V'chitei ma'ika l'mifrach. So this is what the possibility was. You could have undermined it in this manner. There is a chumrah by a shomer sachar, which is if he makes a claim of armed robbery, then if he is caught because he was lying and he really took it himself, then he pays kefel. Afilu achi karna de shoel adifa. Despite that fact, the fact that the shoel pays karen in all those situations is more chamur. This is very similar to what we saw in the previous daf between a Shomer Sachar and a Shomer Chinam. We said that maybe the first parsha is talking about a Shomer Sachar and not a Shomer Chinam because there's a Chumrah in the first parsha. The first parshia, which speaks about a Shomer Chinam, has a Chumrah that if you're Toein Tanat Ganav, if you make a claim that it was stolen from you, and then we find out that you yourself stole it, you pay a Kefil. So that's a Chumrah that doesn't exist in the second parshia by Shomer Sachar. So we suggested, well, then maybe the first parshiah should be Shomer Sachar, and the second one be Shomer Chinam. The Gemara rejected it because it says, Karna b'lo shvua, zifa mikfela b'shvua. That having to pay keren without a shvua is more chamur than having to pay kefel with a shvua. Which means that in any situation in which there's gneva and aveda for a shomer sechar, doesn't matter what his claim is, he is chayav, because the shomer sechar is always chayav in gneva aveda. So as soon as he makes a claim of gneva aveda, chayav. On the other hand, a shomer chinam who makes a claim of gneva aveda is patur. The only instance where he won't be patur is if he takes a shvua that it was stolen from him, and then we find out that he had it, then he'll pay kefel. But that is not all circumstances. And that's only in a situation where he takes a false shvua, claiming it was stolen and he stolen himself. So the fact that that one scenario pays kefel is not a chumrah over the case of a shomer sechar who pays keren all the time. The Gemara says the same thing here with regards to the shuel versus the shomer sechar. The shuel, if he makes a claim of onsin, pays, period. That's it. As soon as he says that it was an onis, he pays. On the other hand, the shomer sechar, if he says that it's onsin, he is patur. In one scenario where he claims that it was armed robbery, and then after the fact we find out that he took it himself, there he'll pay kefel. So yes, there's a penalty in that one case where he takes a shvua that it was ones and it was armed robbers, and we deem them to be ganavim, then he'll pay kefel. For the rest of the cases, he'll be patur, and for the shuel, he will always be chayav. And therefore, that's a chumrah, despite the fact that there is kefel by a shomer sechar. That all belies the fact that a listim zuyain are classified as ganavim. And that is something that we've seen numerous times, both in Baba Kama and Baba Metzia, that the Gemara discussing listim zuyain clearly sees that as being ones, meaning being something that is out of his control, something that he could not foresee, and therefore he is patur for it by a shomer sechar. The Gemara's question is, what is the status or the designation of listim zuyain? So there we have a machloket as to whether they're considered ganavim, because if they are considered ganavim, then this is the equivalent of toain tanat ganav, and therefore the shomer sechar will be chayav kefel. On the other hand, if they are classified as gazlanim, then a gazlan doesn't pay kefel, and the shomer sechar here would also not pay kefel. So this answer that we said over here, that keren is better than kefel, all assumes that listim zuyin are considered or classified as ganavim. The reason for that is that clearly they rob face to face, which is usually the definition of a gazlan, is that he's not afraid. He'll walk up in daylight, he'll walk up to you face to face and steal. A ganav is usually doing it at night and is doing it without confronting the owner of the item. So that's the key difference between a ganav and a gazlan. So in that sense, listim zuyin seem to be much more like gazlanim. On the other hand, they do hide. The gazlanim are the people who are more public about their profession, and that they're not afraid of the authorities, they're not afraid of people. They walk around without any fear. On the other hand, these listim zuyain seemingly hide from the authorities, or don't walk around with their weapons all the time. They show up to rob, and then they go and hide again. They have character traits that are similar to ganavim, but they also have character traits that are similar to gazlanim. And for that reason, it's a machloket in halacha, whether listim zuyin are considered ganavim, which was the assumption now, or ibay deimar kasever listim zuyin gazlanu. The other answer to that question is to just say listim zuyin are gazlanim, and then shomer sechar never has a case of kefel. If that's the case, shoel is clearly more chamor because he has chayav by keren in these cases of unseen, whereas the shomer sechar would be patur the gamre, and if he's caught, he would only pay keren. So Gemara says, ashkechan lichiyuv. I understand when it comes to being chayav, now that gneva v'aveda by a shoel, you are chayav from a kal v'chomer for shomer sechar. Liftor minolan. How do I know they also are patur? This goes back to, again, what we've been discussing about a shoel, which is imbalavimo lo yishalem. If the owner is with you, that was the mishnayot that we saw before, if the owner is working together with you, hired at the same time, then you are patur as a shoel. Again, the Parshiyav Shoel only mentions Shvura and Meita, which is cases of Onsin. So it would seem that Balavimo is only a Ptur by Nishbar or Meita, by cases of Onsin. But by cases of Gneva of Aveda, how do you know that Balavimo is also an exemption to say that you would not be Chayav? And that's what the Gemara is asking here. Ashkechan Lechiyuv, you explain to me Gneva Aveda that a Shoel is Chayav. Liftor Minolan, how do I know that Gneva Aveda is also Ptur by a Shoel? In cases where it is balav imo. So what are you going to say again? Learn it out from the cases of Onsin. That's the problem. The whole problem with Shvura Meita is that it is a case of Onsin. Since these are cases of Onsin, maybe that's why Balabimo is enough to make you Patur. But by Gneva Veida, which is not Onsin, in that case, maybe Balabimo won't suffice to give you a Patur. El Gomer Mishomer Sachar. We will learn now from Mishomer Sachar. That a Shomer Sachar, Balabimo is Patur from Gneva Veida. So too, a Shoel should be Patur from Gneva Veida. But the Gemara asks the fundamental question, Shomer Sachar, Gufei Minoman. How do you know that a Shomer Sachar is Patur when Balabimo? The thing that you would be patur for my Shomer Sachar would have been Gneva Vaveda if Balavimo. How do you know that's actually true? If you can establish that's true, then maybe you can learn Shoel from Shomer Sachar. But you have to first establish for me for the fact that Shomer Sachar is patur from Balavimo. Gomre Chiyuva de Shomer Sachar mi Chiyuva de Shoel. The truth is that the chiyuv by Shomer Sachar derives from the chiyuv of Shoel. Mal halan bibalim patur, avkan bibalim patur. Just like by Shoel it is patur, so too by the case of Shomer Sachar it is patur. So that means that what you're doing is the Shoel is the source for the fact that Balabimo is patur. Then Shomer Sachar you learn from Shoel, and now you're trying to take Shomer Sachar and return it back to a Shoel. Gemara says, "B'mai gamar." What methodology of limud are you losing over here? Ibe mematzinu. If you're using a mematzinu, which is somewhat akin to a binyanav of sorts, which is you have a principle that you establish. Once you have that principle, you can apply it more broadly. So you're telling me now that we have a principle by Shoel, which says balavimo is patur. So now I want to extend that and apply it to Shomer Sachar as well. It says, Ikadamifrach kid the barchinan. Shekein onis. Wait a minute. By Shoel, to extend it, you have a problem because you can undermine that from what we said until now, which is, Shekein onis, because of the fact that Shvura Meita is a case where we are dealing with things that are out of his control. That is what's mentioned by Shoel. And now all of a sudden you want to apply that to Geneva and Aveda by Yoshomer Sachar, where it is somewhat in his control. So just like you couldn't learn it internally within Shoel himself, from Shvura Meita to Geneva Aveda, it should present the same problem as a Mematzinu from Shoel to Shomer Sachar. Elamar Kro, V'chi Ishau. So the Pasuk says, a Vav, and that is a Vav Mosif Ayanyan Rishon. So this is a Vavachibur. Unlike the first two parshiot, the first parshiot begins, Ki Yitein Ish Ereu Kesef Okelim, that's Shomer Chinam. Second parsha begins, Ki Yitein, without a Vav, that's Mechaber, that's Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sechar, there is no Vav Achibur. But then, in the third parshiot, it says, Vichi Ishal Ish Meim Reu. So the Vav of Shoel connects it to the Shomer Sechar beforehand. And therefore, it says, Vav Mosiva Yen Rishom Yilameid Elyon Mitachton. The one above, you learn from the one below. The one below is the Parshiyah of Shoel. The one before it is Shomer Sachar. And you learn Shomer Sachar from Shoel because of the Vav HaChibur. Gemara says, Vakate Shoel mi Shomer Sachar lo gamar. So fine, now you've established why the din of Balavimo by Shoel should be applicable by the case of Shomer Sachar. And it supersedes logic because now we're using a Hekesh. We're using a Vav HaChibur, which is a Hekesh. A Hekesh stands irrespective of its logic. And so here, it doesn't matter that it's not logical to apply Balav Imo to a Shomer Sachar from a Shoel. The Vav says do it, irrespective of the logic. So now I've established that a Shomer Sachar, Balav Imo, is a Ptur. But now I still have to then take it from Shomer Sachar and get it back to Shoel to say that a Shoel is Ptur by Gnei Vav Aveda. But it says you can't do that. You have a logical undermining of that. It's not logical necessarily to apply from Shomer Sachar to a Shoel. By Shomer Sachar, the reason maybe Balavimo is patur by Gneva Aveda is because he's patur by Onsin in general. And so therefore he has more room to have reasons to make him patur. But by Shoel, where the Shvura Meita is Chayav, maybe Balabimo is not sufficient to allow him a Ptur by Gneva Ve'Aveda. And so therefore, I managed to get it from Shoel to Shomer Sachar, What I can't do is get it from Shomer Sakhar back to Shoel. So Ela Gneva Veida B'Shoel L'Chiyuva Minolan. Now the Gemara goes back to the fundamentals and says, listen, how do you know by the case of Shoel that Gneva Veida is Chayav? We just established that above. The Gemara Mishomer Sakhar. They learned it from Shomer Sakhar. It was a Kal V'Chomer from Shomer Sakhar to Shoel that you're Chayav by Gneva Veida. So the Gemara says, well, then apply the din. Dayola Vomin Adin. Liot kinidon. If you're learning Gneva Veda in the first place from Shomer Sakhar to Shoel, then the Shoel's Gneva Veda can't be better than that of the Shomer Sakhar, which is that the Shomer Sakhar, his Gneva Veda, number one, is Chayav. Number two is it's Patur when Balavimo. So then if I learn from Shomer Sakhar to Shoel to tell you Shoel's Chayav by Gneva Veda, his Gneva Veda, the Shoel, can't be better than the Gneva Aveda of the Shomer Sakhar from which he is learning. You can dayolavo min adin liot kinidon. It's a principle in Kal V'Chomers, which says that if you're going to learn from the Kula to the Chumra, you don't say, well, the Kula has this, therefore the Chumra should have even more. No, we say that if the Kula has this, then the Chumra should have at least what the Kula has. But that's it, at least. Well, at least by Shomer Sakhar means Shomer Sakhar is chayav b'Gneva Aveda, but he is patur by la vimo. And that's how we'll learn it. Ma gneva veida de shomer sakhar bebalim patur, av gneva veida shoel nami balim patur. So there we solved our problem. We're now using a hekesh to learn balavimo from shoel to shomer sakhar, to tell you by shomer sakhar gneva veida is patur. And then from shomer sakhar to shoel, we're learning it through the original limud, which is the kal v'chomer. Just like gneva veida are chayavim by shomer sakhar, so too they are chayavim by shoel. But that chiyuv is bound or limited by balavimo. And so too, when you learn it from Shomer Sakhar to Shoel, it'll also be bound or limited by balavimo. It says, anicha laman de'itlei de'o. That works well for the one who holds of de'o. Now, Tosafot points out that there is no de'a like the Gemara is suggesting right now. The Gemara has a machloket in the Tanaim as to whether we apply the principle of de'o, lavo min adin, liot kinidon. But that is only a question when the dayo undermines the kal v'chomer. I mean, if we were to apply the dayo, then there would be no kal v'chomer. Over there, there's a machloket tanaim as to whether we invoke the principle or not. But in a case where the kal v'chomer stands, irrespective of the dayo, everybody agrees we apply it. And here's a case where the kal v'chomer is going to stand irrespective of the dayo, because we're going to learn gneva aveda by shoel that they're chayav from shomer tzachar. So the kal v'chomer works. All we're doing is now limiting the scope of that chiyuv. But that dayo does not undermine the kal v'chomer. Over there, all Tanaim agree that we apply it. So Tosafot says, there's a hava mina in the Gemara there, that it would be in all scenarios that we would have this machloket. And so he says here and other places in Shas, when the Gemara asks this question, it's asking it in a theoretical manner, which is, had there been an opinion like this, what would be the way that we learn it? Because we had a havamina that there was opinion like this, based on that havamina, that initial thought that there was such a tana, how do we theoretically now deal with it in this situation? But the halacha, it's not even relevant, and of course, what we just said would be fine. Elamanda leitle dio, ma'ika lememar. What are you gonna do over here? Elamar kra, v'chi yishal. So now we're going back to the hekesh, the vav. Vav mosif al yin rishon, v'ilameid el yomi tachton. Now we're making the vav a two-way street, which says that just like we learn balavimo from Shoel to Shomer Sakhar because of the vav, we can do the reverse now, which is we can learn out that balavimo by Shomer Sakhar, that you are patur by Gneva Aveda, so too by a Shoel, even though that's not logical because now you're using a hekesh. And a hekesh is not subject to logic, and the vav will be a bidirectional limud, which is that Shoel will teach us that by Shomer Sakhar, Gneva Veveda is patur by Balavimo. And from Shomer Sakhar to Shoel, we will also learn out that Balavimo applies by Gneva Veveda, even by the case of Shoel. Itmar. So this is a question that we had mentioned earlier in the Masechta, which is a serious issue. Pshia bebalim. What happens if the balim are present? That it is a case of balavimo, but the reason the shomer is chayav over here is because of the case of pshia, of negligence. Wow. So now, as far as negligence is concerned, even a shomer chinam is chayav by the case of negligence. A shomer zakhar is obviously chayav because he's already chayav b'gneva v'aveda, And Ushuel, for certain, is chayav be'pshia, because he's even chayav be'unsin. So now, the only unique shomer where pshia makes a difference is that by shomer chinam. So basically, the question of the Gemara, in other words, is there a din of balavi mo by a shomer chinam? Because a shomer chinam is already patur from Gneva Vaveda. He's already patur mi'unsin. The only thing he's chayav for is pshia. So the question is, the balav imo have application by a shomer chinam? If you phrase it as pshia bebalim, it would have application also by shomer zachar and shuel, but the truth is that you would only know that if it was true by a shomer chinam. So pligi ba ravacha ravina, ravacha ravina argue about this, chadamar chayav, v'chadamar patur. Machloket amoraim here. Mandamar chayav, the one who says chayav, Kasaver mikra nidrash lifanav velo lifnei lifanav. And when you look at a pasuk, you only are doresh, the parsha, or the information immediately preceding it, not two sections or themes beforehand. Hilkach, im balavimo, a shomer chinam, loktiv. For that reason, balavimo has no application by a shomer chinam whatsoever. That means that balavimo applies to a shoel, and it applies to a shomer sachar. From Shoel, we learn that Balavi Mo is a p'tur by Unsin. From Shomer Sachar, we learn that Balavi Mo is a p'tur by Gneva Vaveda. But we don't have is any Balavi Mo teaching us that Pshia is p'tura, because it doesn't reach Shomer Chinam. It does not close enough to Shomer Chinam to teach us this din. And the Vav, a Chibur, that's found by Shoel, is juxtaposed to the parshia of Shomer Sachar, not to that of Shomer Chinam. It says, Upshia Nami b'Shomer Sachar v'Shoel, Loktiv. Pshia is never explicitly mentioned by a Shomer Sachar and a Shoel. The reason that they are chayav in Pshia is either logically, it's just very easy to understand why they would be if they're chayav by Gneva Veda or Beonsin. Certainly, it's a kal v'chomer they should be chayav in Pshia, or you can learn it from a Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam is chayav in Pshia, so certainly a Shomer Sachar and Shoel should be chayav. But no matter what way you go, it's a limud and not explicitly written in the pasuk. The parshia of Pshia is written explicitly by that of a Shomer Chinam, which is al kol davar pesha, al shor chamor al sel sama al kol avidah sheyomar ki uzad Elohim yavo davar shnehem sheyashinu Elohim yishalem shnayim nereyu. So al kol davar pesha is the parshia of Pshia, and it's only relevant by a Shomer Chinam. But since you say balav imo doesn't reach Shomer Chinam, you have no application of balav imo in the context of Pshia. Hilkach v'shomer sechar v'shuel l'chiyuv atya b'kal v'chomer mishomer chinam. And so therefore you have a kal v'chomer that if a shomer chinam is chayav by pshia, even bibalav imo, then certainly a shomer sechar and shuel would be chayav. Aval bibalim liftor af b'shomer sechar b'shuel lo. But by the case of shomer sechar and shuel, balav imo would not be a p'tor, my tama. Ki k'tiv im balav imo lo yishalem, ashuel v'shomer sechar. Ahana chiyuve dechtiv b'hu. When it's written by the Shoel, it's written by the Chiyuvim that appear in the Parshiot of Shoel and Shomer Sachar. It only references or affects those issues that are written explicitly. This is what we said until now. The Shoel, where Unsin are mentioned, Balavimo is a Ptur. Shomer Sachar, where Gneva and Veda are mentioned the Chiyuv, Balavimo is a Ptur. Pshial is mentioned by Shomer Chinam, there is no Ptur of Balavimo. Since there is no p'tur of balavimo, therefore by Shomer Sechar and Shoel there will also be no p'tur, because you'll learn a kal v'chomer from Shomer Chinam. Mandamar p'tur, the one who says p'tur, kasavar mikra nidrash lefanav, v'lifnei lefanav. That the pasuk of balavimo affects not only Shomer Sechar, but even Shomer Chinam. V'chitiv, im balavimo, a Shomer Chinam namiktiv. And when it says im balavimo, it's also a p'tur by Shomer Chinam. The only p'tur you need by Shomer Chinam is in a case of Pshia. And therefore, but now you would know that Balav Imo works by Pshia, because that's the only reason to take it and apply it by a Shomer Chinam. The Rashi over here says, Mikra nidrash lefanav lifnei fanav b'smichut parshiot. Afal pishen hekesh mifurash behen. Even though there's no hekesh that's obvious over here, for the case of Shomer Sachar and Shoel, you have the Vav Achibor that makes it a hekesh, without even having to think about it. The problem is, Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sechar, as we pointed out, does not have a Vav Echibor between them. So Rashi suggests over here that the Gemara is teaching us that Hekesh can come in the form of a Vav Echibor, but can also come in the form of simply the juxtaposition of the Parshiot can generate the Hekesh. And so that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here, that Shomer Chinam has a Hekesh to Shomer Sechar, which has a Hekesh to Shoel, and therefore the association makes it Balavimo as application by Shomer Sechar, and so too it has application by Shomer Chinam. Alright, now the Gemara is going to discuss this. It's not. Going back to the Mishnah that we saw before by a Shoel. A Shoel Para V'Sha'al Balehaimah. Person who borrows an ox, a cow, for whatever reason, and he borrows the owner of the cow along with it. Hashuel para v'sachar balayima. Or, he borrows the para, but he hires the owner to work with him. Sha'al ba'alea osicharan. If he was already engaged in a transaction with the owner of the item, and he already had hired him to work for him, or he had asked him to come and help, and then after he was already working or engaged to work for him, and then he borrows the cow, the oxen, and it passes away, patur. That's called balavimo. Balavimo has two possible manifestations. In a case where simultaneous with the borrowing of the item, you also engaged with the owner of the item. It means you either borrowed him himself or you hired him himself. And the other possibility is that you already engaged the owner. The owner is already working for you, either as a socher or in a borrowed fashion, meaning he's just helping you out. In that case, when you borrow the cow, you are patur, because that is considered to be balav imo. V'ilu shomer chinam lo ktani. The Mishnah before it never mentioned shomer chinam. It mentions that the balim were niskar, mentions that the balim were nishalu, but it does not mention that the balim were shomer chinam. Where it says, ulutameich, that logic is not foolproof, because shomer sachar miktani. Did you see Shomer Sechar mentioned in that Mishnah? And we know for sure that Balavimo applies to Shomer Sechar. Elotana, Milta, Dechtiva Be'edjah, Tani. Da'achim Midrosha, Lo Tani. The Tana of the Mishnah only wrote things that are explicit in the Pasuk, not things that are not explicit in the Pasuk, but rather come from Drashot. So you can't prove anything from the Mishnah because the absence of Shomer Chinam doesn't show you anything. Because also Shomer Sechar is absent. And since they are both absent from the Mishnah, it shows you that it was a literary choice to only put these items in, which are explicit in Psukim, rather than to put in all the halachot that apply to Balav Imo. Even though the Gemara in many other places notes that Drusha Chaviva Aleh, that the Drusha is more Chaviv on the Tana, and therefore he brings the Drusha and not that which is explicit in Psukim, what you have to suggest is that over here, where you're only going to bring one item, then it's more likely that Tana is going to bring the item that is Mifurash in the Pasuk. On the other hand, if he's giving you both that which is Mifurash in the Pasuk, as well as that which comes from a Drasha, then he will give precedence to that which comes from the Drasha ahead or before that which comes from the Psukim. So over here, where he only gave you one of the items, he only mentioned those things that are explicit in the Pasuk, even though they were Drashot that he could have mentioned. But since he didn't mention them at all, then he only brought those things that are Behejah of a Pasuk. Now, even though the Braita itself mentions Schira, which is not explicit in the Pasuk, you could argue that the Psukim by the Shoel, it's half of the Pasuk at the end of the Parshia of Shoel, says, Im balavimo lo yishalein, im sechirhu babischaro. So the way that Rashi and Chumash, as well as the Gemara learns it, is that's the Parshia of Socher. It doesn't tell you what it means, it just means that a socher is babischaro. And then we have the machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to what that means, shomer sachar or shomer chinam. But you could, if you read it at face value, say that socher is a part and parcel of the parshia of sheila. And that's what the Braita is suggesting, that there's sheila and skira, those are explicit in the psukim. Shomer chinam, shomer sachar, those are not explicit in psukim, vis-a-vis the din of balav imo. It says, tashma, let's look at this case. Sheila v'shal balayima, sachra v'sachar balayima. He borrows the item and he borrowed the owners with it. Or he rented out the item and he rented the balim with it. Sachra v'shal balayima. Or he rented the item and borrowed the owners. Af alpi shabalim osim malacha b'makom acher. Even though the owners are working seemingly somewhere else, engaged in a different type of labor, umeita, and then the animal dies, patur. So now the assumption being that balavimo is not literally balavimo, that he has to be worked or engaged in the same action, work, activity. He's simply, the transaction had to happen at a time where he had this other relationship with the Baalim. So, Vrua Hamani. So we thought, who is the author of this Braita? Rabbi Yehuda. It's authored by Rabbi Yehuda Damar, Socher, Kushomer, Sachar, Dami. The Socher is the same din as a Shomer Sachar. So now, if that's the case, Vaha Haitana Tani Milta Da'aje Midrasha. That means that this Tana not only included the case of Shoel, which is explicit in the Pasuk, but also the case of Socher, which is not explicit in the Pasuk, but comes from a drasha as to whether a socher is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar. And now we're assuming, like Rabbi Huda, that a socher is a shomer sachar. That means that in this braita, shomer sachar is mentioned. Beilu shomer chinam, lo tani. But shomer chinam is not mentioned. So again, here, now you would have a proof that shomer chinam is not subject to balavimo. Because the braita, in speaking about cases of balavimo, only mentions shoel and socher, which is the equivalent, Socher is the equivalent of Shomer Sachar, as examples, but never mentions Shomer Chinam. Amani Rabbi Meir. So now the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, Damar Socher, Kishomer Chinam Dami. That bright is authored by Rabbi Meir, who says that a Socher is the same thing as a Shomer Chinam. Once you've done that, then Shomer Chinam is mentioned in the Braita, and you would learn a Shomer Sachar be Kal Bechomer. Vitana, Shomer Chinam, Vuadin, the Shomer Sachar. And therefore the Tana mentions Shomer Chinam, and you would know that also has application by Shomer Sachar. Iba Idema, Kidamachlif Rabba Baravua. Some say it's the way that Rabba Baravua flipped it. Vitznei, Socher, Ketzan Mishalem. What's the din of a Socher? Rabbi Meir Omer Kishomer Sachar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishomer Chinam. That Rabbi Meir says it's a din of a Shomer Sachar. Rabbi Yehuda says it's Shomer Chinam, just the opposite of what we saw before. The Gemara in numerous places brings down this machloket. And every time it brings down the machloket, it also shows you that there was an alternate version of the machloket in which Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda switch positions. Now, over here, it's not clear why the Gemara does this. It could be that the Gemara here just quotes it because almost every time we speak about this issue, the Gemara brings as an ibaidema the flipping of their positions. But over here, it's not necessarily relevant because how do we know who the author of the Braita is? There's no indication that this Braita is authored by Rabbi Yehuda or by Rabbi Meir. And so therefore, when the Gemara over here says, well, you could just flip their positions and everything would be great because Rabbi Yehuda then would be saying Shomer Chinam, why does that matter? So Rashi claims over here, Inechalach leukma stam Braita k'Rabbi Yehuda, tvei mi Rabbi Meir. If you feel compelled to say that this stam Braita is authored by Rabbi Yehuda instead of Rabbi Meir, it still will not present a problem. Because we have a possibility of explaining Rabbi Yehuda that a socher is kishomer chinam, because we have this alternate view of the machloket that Rabbi Baravua brought us, where Rabbi Yehuda says he is a shomer chinam. So it's not that you have to flip it from being Rabbi Yehuda to being Rabbi Meir. You can keep it as Rabbi Yehuda being the author of the Braita, but nevertheless, there is a position that says that Rabbi Yehuda holds socher is kishomer chinam dami. That's what Rashi suggests. You can see in the Baal Yetzos Sufot, he says, Tema, Maya Dachak Luk make Rabbi Yehuda, Leit Hilchotok Avatei. Why is the Gemara so pressed to set up the Braita like Rabbi Yehuda, who turns out the Halacha is not like the Kaimelan Socher Kishomer Sachar Dami? Because in the end, we think that a Socher is like a Shomer Sachar and not like a Shomer Chinam. So Tosfot is left perplexed by why the Gemara brings it over here. Rashi just speculates that maybe if you wanted to keep it as Rabbi Yehuda, for whatever reason, you could still explain it in that manner. There is a principle with regards to Midrash Halacha, which is that Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda. But here we're in Sefer Shmot, which is the Mechilta. And the Mechilta comes in two forms. There's Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael, and there's Mechilta de Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So therefore, it does not indicate, or it's not necessarily true, that here you would have the Stam Midrash Halacha being authored by Rabbi Yehuda. That's assuming that it's a Midrash Halacha that's coming from the Mechilta. If it's just a Braita, then there'd be even less reason to believe that it is Rabbi Yehuda than Rabbi Meir. Now, Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, but that doesn't mean Stam Braita is Rabbi Meir. Here again, you have no indication as to who the author of the position is. Okay, Amar Rav Amnuna, Lo'olam u'chayav, Achite para v'choreshba, chamor u'michamer achara. So this was your question, and your suggestion, maybe Balavi Mo should only be a tour, when he's engaged in the actual work that the item that he borrowed is doing. And therefore, that's what Rav Numa says, you are chayav until the balim are working the para. He is taking the cow or the oxen and he's plowing with them. chamor, or he has the donkey that is hauling, umechamer acharen, he's driving the donkey. He is the mover. So that's the only case where you have a ptur. You'll be chayav unless you have this scenario. V'adshu balim mishat sheila v'adshu shvura umeto. So then in addition to that, he says that the balim have to be engaged in the work from the time that you borrowed it all the way until the time that it died or whatever unseen, kneva baveda, whatever happened, the balim were still engaged. So Rav Amnuna really has two statements, although the truth is that they really are one view in the end. His first statement is that the balim have to be working with the item itself in order to be considered balavimo. But then he also suggests that the balavimo must be from the time of Sheila until the time of whatever happens. But that really is a derivative of the fact that you require the balim to be engaged in the exact work that the animal that you borrowed is doing. So by definition, that's what's going to happen, that the balim will be with it from the time of Sheila until the time that something happens. Almar kasabar, balavimo akula milta mashma. From this, you would conclude that he believes, from Amnuna, that the balavimo is going on everything, not just on the she'ila. Which is, it says, b'chi yishal ish meimreyu, v'nishbar umeit, balav enimo, shalem yishalem. In balavimo, lo yishalem. So that enimo, balav enimo, or balav imo, what is it modifying in the previous part of the pasuk? Is it modifying b'chi ishal ish mimreyu? Or is it modifying nishbar omet? So what he suggests is that it's al kula milta on the whole thing. Balavimo must be both there by she'ila as well as by nishbar omet. And that's his opinion then derives from that the balim must be there involved in the work all the way along. That's one way to learn it. Obviously the alternative is to say balavimo only applies to one of those two items. That's whether it's she'ila or nishbar omet. Meiti rovo shala v'shal balayima. He borrowed the item and he borrowed the owners with it. Sachra v'sachar balayima. He rented it and rented the owners with it. Sachra v'shal balayima. Or he rented the item and borrowed the owners with it. Sha'ala. Or he borrowed it v'sachar balayima and he rented the owners with it. Afa pisha balim osim balacha b'makom acher. Even though the balim are engaged in work in some other location, this is the bright that we quoted before, umeita, and it dies, patur. So what does that mean, b'makom acher? My lav b'melacha acheret. What does b'makom acher mean? In some other engagement or activity. It means that they're not connected. The borrowing of the item and the work that you're engaging the balim in don't necessarily have to be the same. That's what the bright says. Melacha acheret. So Gemara says, lo, boto melacha. It's the same melacha. So then what does makom acher mean? Ela, my makom acher, de kamerafi v'azil kama. That he's not engaged directly in the same work, but he's doing the same type of work, which is that he is assisting the animal in doing its work. So it's a case where he is loosening the dirt in front of the animal that is plowing. So he's got a spade or a hoe, and he's turning over the dirt right before the plow coming through. So he's engaged in the same malacha, technically, but it's still considered to be makom acher because he's not the one driving the plow, he's the one loosening the dirt in front of it. He's not actively engaged in the animal, but he is actively engaged in the same malacha that the animal is doing, which is turning over the soil and loosening the ground. So that's how you would get out of the problem in explaining the Braita in that way. Rav Hamnuna could still reconcile himself with the Braita. Where it says, v'hadam is seifa. What about the seifa that Braita, which refers to al gaba, where he's literally dealing with the animal itself. Havi reisha mamalacha acheret makes it sound like the reisha is a case where it has to do nothing with the same malacha. Diktani seifa, because the seifa says, shala v'achar kach shal baleha. He borrowed the item and then borrowed the owner. Sachra v'achar kach sachar baleha. He rented out the item and then he rented the owners as well. Balaima. Vavo pisha balim choshim al gaba. Even though the owners are the ones running the plow now, they're literally there, umeita, and it dies, chayav. He is responsible, because this is not called balavimo, because he only rented the balim, or borrowed the balim after he already had the relationship with regards to the item itself. So the seifa tells you that balim, choshima, gaba, umeita, chayav, implying that the reisha is not a case of al-gaba, because here the seifa makes it explicit that it's that way. Implying that the reisha doesn't believe that it has to be so. If that's the case, then it seems to be the distinction between the seifa and the reisha is, obviously, the seifa is a case where he borrows or rents the owners after the fact, But the uniqueness is the fact that even if the owners are directly involved with the work, the shoel is chayav. And vice versa, in the reisha, it would seem to be that you'd want to say that despite the fact that the owner is not engaged in the same work, but it's considered to be balavimo because he rented them at the same time or he borrowed them at the same time. So that would imply that the reisha is not a case where they're engaged in the same work. It's imre reisha v'seifa b'oto melacha. Now that reisha and seifa are dealing with a case where he's involved in the same work. V'reisha rabutu k'mashalan v'seifa rabutu k'mashalan. The reisha is teaching as a chiddush and the seifa is teaching as a chiddush. Reisha rabutu k'mashalan. The chiddush of the reisha is da'af agav da'lav al gaba. Even though he's not literally driving the animal, ela b'oto melacha, but he's just engaged in the same work, but not directly together with the animal. Nevertheless, since the balim were there at the time that he borrowed, that's considered to be balavimo, despite the fact that the balim themselves are not involved so directly in engaging the animal. The sefer abutu kamashlan, and the sefer is also teaching us a chiddush. Davagav da'al gaba, even though he's directly involved with the animal, and he's the one driving the animal to plow, since the balim were not there at the time of the borrowing, chayav, he is chayav, because it's not classified as balavimo, despite the fact that the owner is intimately involved in the work, because he's the one riding the animal and driving the plow. Hi, my Gemara says, that's not comparable, that doesn't make sense. If you say the case of the reisha is talking about where he's involved in completely different work, then the seifa b'oto melacha, and then the seifa is engaged in the same activity as the animal, hainu rabuta. That's a chiddush, because you're showing the extremes in both cases. In the case of the seifa, you're showing that the extreme is that even though he's engaged directly with the animal, the shoel is not patur, because that's not called balav imo. In the reisha, where he's not involved at all with the animal, but it's still considered to be balav imo, that would be a chiddush. If you tell me the reisha and seifa are both cases where he's involved in the same work as the animal, my rebuta, what's the chiddush here? What's the chiddush here? They're both engaged in the same work, in the reisha too. He's engaged in the same work. Of course it should be patur. Why would you have thought otherwise if they're engaged in the same work? That's not a chiddush in the reisha. It's one thing to say that in contrast to the seifa, it might be a chiddush. But to say that it's a standalone chiddush only applies if you say the reisha case is a case where he's not engaged in the same work as the balim. Bod. In addition to that, we have another problem with this, is the Tanya. We have a braita. Mimash mashenemar, and the pasuk says, im balavimo lo yishalem. If the owners are with him, he may will not have to pay. Eini yodea, I could have inferred from that, shim balav eini mo, if the owners are not there, shalem yishalem, that you would have to pay. Meaning that one is an outgrowth of the other. If you know for certain that the pasuk says, if the owners are with you, you are patur, you could automatically infer that if they're not with you, you are chayav. Elamat amalover. So then why did the previous pasuk, when it says, balav eni mo, yishalem yishalem, why do you need that? That would seem to be extraneous because it's an outcome of the other statement. Lomar lecha, to come to teach you, ayah imo b'shat sheila, ein tzarich liyot imo b'shat shvura meita, to teach you that even though he was there at the moment of borrowing, he does not need to be there at the time of Shvura Meita. Hayam Obishet Shvura Meita. Or if he's with them at the time that it dies or the Ones takes place, Tzarech Liotim Obishet Shela, that's not enough. He has to be there at Shat Shela. But what you see from this Braita is that there is a need or necessity only to be together at the time of Shela. After that point in time, the Balim do not need to be engaged or around the animal itself. And despite that fact, the Braita is saying you are patur. That would undermine Rav Hamnuna's position. B'tani idach. And we have another Braita. Now again, the Braita aren't necessarily arguing. They simply are starting from a different vantage point. The first Braita started from the vantage point which says, im balav imo lo yishalem. If the owners are with him, you are patur. You could have inferred from that if the owners are not with him that you are chayav. And therefore that becomes the extraneous piece. Over here, it just starts from the other side. Mimash mishnemer balav enimo shalem yishalem. If it says, if the balim are not with him, you do have to pay. Eni udeyashim balav imo lo yishalem. I could infer the opposite, which is that if the owners are with them, you would be patur. Elamat hamalomari balav imo. So then, why does the Torah say in balav imo that you are patur? Because Lomar given she had some reshut mashil sha'achat bibalim umeita patur. That if it was only momentarily together with the balim, meaning at the time of she'ilah, even though after that point they were completely separate, that's enough to make you patur from balav imo. Again, this would undermine Rav Amnuna. So tiyufta the Rav Amnuna tiyufta between the two brightot that we brought over here, as well as the previous brightot that we tried to answer, then we showed that the answer was no good. We now have three brightot that disagree with this premise of Amnuna, that number one, you have to be together, the balim have to be together, mishat sheila ad shvura mameta, but more importantly, that the balim have to be engaged in the same halacha as the animal or the item that you borrowed. That is not true, as we see from all three of these brightot. Rashi over here says that the tiyufta of Rav Amnuna is broken down into two parts. The first brayta is a tiyufta of Rav Amnuna that you don't have to be malacha achat, you have to be in the same malacha, versus the second set of brayta, the Tanya and Tanya Idach, which are questions on Rav Amnuna's position that you need to be there from beginning to end. So Rashi separates out the issues, unlike what we suggested before, that the two issues would be connected. Rashi sees them as being separate, and therefore each of these series of brightot are a refutation of different parts of Rav Amnuna. First brayta, the case is a refutation of the fact that it has to be malacha achat, and the second and third brightot that we brought are a refutation of the fact that he has to be there from beginning to end. Again, there are others who suggest that the brightot are a question through and through if you connect the two issues. The Pashup Shad and the Pasuk makes sense, like what Rav Nuna is saying. Balavimo is a ptur, because the balim are engaged and involved in the work with this particular animal. Correct. And they are the ones who are almost, in a sense, caring for the animal along with the person who borrowed it from him. They're engaged in the same activity, and he's there and present all the way through. So that would make sense that it is a ptur. What the brightot are telling you is that that is not limited to those scenarios. It's not limited to the cases where the balim are directly involved. So then what you have to do or say, and this, it's a gzeret katuf, and therefore there's no logic, or this is what I had mentioned earlier in the Masechta, is that the logic here is not simply because he's there and present, but rather that you cannot establish what I would say conflicting relationships. If the individual is your employee, then in some ways he is subjugated to you, not in a sense of slavery, but in a sense of an employee-owner relationship. You can't then try to, on top of that, layer on a reverse relationship, which is that you now borrow from your employee, so now you become, in a sense, subjugated to your employee. And so that might be what you have to do to state the logic, is that you can't create a conflicting relationship. If there's an existing relationship by which you are the adon, then you cannot be flipped into being under the auspices of an individual. And so here, if you're already employed by this person, then you are the worker of this person. He can't then, as the adon, become your worker or subjugated to you or subject to your ownership or rules because of the existing or pre-existing relationship. So you'd have to express it in those terms in order to expand the scope of when balavimo applies. So now the Gemara is going to associate Abaye and Rav Abba Machloket that utilizes or explains the positions of Rabbi Oshaya and Rabbi Yonatan. The end of yesterday's daf, we actually brought them in. Their machloket persists throughout Shas. Again, last week we just saw it in yesterday's daf, which is, what is the circumstance or situation when the Torah presents you with multiple items in a list? Do we say that the multiple items in the list all then have to be triggered in order for whatever the Torah is prescribing to be true, unless the Torah then separates them out? Which means, if I say, you're chayav both in Geneva ve'aveda, again, this is just an example that's not real, but if I say you're chayav by Geneva ve'aveda, then according to Rabbi Oshaya, that means that you're not going to be chayav until you both have Geneva and Aveda. Unless I have something that teaches me to separate between the Geneva and Aveda, I need something to lechalek, to separate them so that they become independent chiyuvim. And that means that if I only did Geneva or did Aveda, I would be chayav independently or irrespective of the fact that I didn't accomplish both of them. That's Rabbi Oshaya's position, that the default status is everything is bundled together unless you can show me it's separated. Rabbi Yonatan has the exact opposite position. He says anytime you have a list of items, it's automatically that we assume that they're separate, unless the Torah comes along and says that they are together and uses the word like yachdav or uses some terminology that joins them together and says that you need to be in violation of all of them to be chayav. So Rabbi Yonatan's default status is listed items are separate. Rabbi Yoshaya's position is that listed items by default are considered to be together. And so therefore you need a limud for each of them to do the opposite. So now, here the Gemara says, Abaye savarla ki Rabbi Yoshaya, umitaris likrai ki Rabbi Yoshaya. Abaye holds like Rabbi Yoshaya, which means that the default situation is that all items listed are considered to be one unit, or you, if you have to violate all of them to be chayav. And therefore he explains the psukim according to Rabbi Yoshaya. Rabba, on the other hand, sovar like Rabbi Yonatan. He holds like Rabbi Yonatan, who says that the default status is items are separate unless stated otherwise. Umitarets the cry, Rabbi Yonatan, and therefore he explains the psukim according to Rabbi Yonatan. Baye sovar like Rabbi Yoshaya. Baye holds like Rabbi Yoshaya. Umitarets the cry, Rabbi Yoshaya. Balav enimo says the owners are not with him. Shalem yishalem. Therefore he has to pay. Taima delete bitarvayu. That's only because he wasn't there with both issues. Hayita b'chada, v'leta b'chada. If he was only there for one of the two instances, he would be patur. So now, what Abaye said is, if you read the pasuk at face value, according to Rabbi Yoshaya, the pasuk presents you with two issues. One is that he borrowed from his friend. Number two is that the animal died or broke in that process, and therefore he is patur. But those are two issues. According to Rabbi Yoshaya, if I have two issues, the only way you're going to be patur is if I accomplish both of them. That means that in balav imo, to be chayav, must be in a case where the balim are not present, not at the time of Shela, and not at the time of Shvura Meita. But that means if they were there for one of the two, then you would be patur. And obviously, the Gemara doesn't state this explicitly, neither does the Braita. But the truth is that we always lean towards the She'ilah rather than the Shvura Meita because of what the Gemara is going to say at the end of today's daf. So now he says, listen, in order to be in balav imo to be chayav, that would only mean a case where he was not there both at the time of She'ilah and the time of Shvura Meita. But he's there at the at one of those two, then you would be patur. So now Gemara says, that's what the remainder of the pasuk teaches you. V'aktiv im balav imo lo yishalem. Doesn't the pasuk say, if the owners are there, you won't pay? Taima de'itim b'tarvayu. That's only because he was there at both instances. Both at the time of Shela, the time of Shvura Meita. So I ita b'chada v'leta b'chada mechayev. If he was there only for one of them, then you would be chayav. V'mar lacha yam imo b'shat Shela, inu tzarich liyot imo b'shat Shvura Meita. To teach you that if he's there at the time of Sheila, he doesn't need to be there at the time of Shvura Meita. Hayam obishat Shvura Meita, tzarich liyotim obishat Sheila. But if he was there at the time of Shvura Meita, that's not sufficient. He must be there at the time of Shat Sheila. So according to Rabbi Yoshaya, the psukim apply to both items. That means when it says in the pasuk, v'chi ishal ish me'im reyu, that's one issue. V'nish baro meit, that's the second issue. Both of those issues are true, and therefore, Balav enimo, if the balim are not there, shalem yishalem. So the balim were not there at both of those cases, that's when you're going to be chayav. If he was there at one of those two cases, you'll be patur. Which of those one of those two cases you're going to be patur? When he's there by the sheila, even though he's not there by the shvura meita. Then the next pasuk that says, im balav imo lo yishalem. If the balim are there, you don't pay. Again, it's referencing to both. That means that if the balim are there for both cases, you will be patur. That means both by she'ila and by shvura meita. That's when you're going to be patur, implying that if you're only there for one of those two items, you would be chayav. But that's which of one of those two items? That's by the case of shvura meita. If you're only there by shvura meita, you will remain chayav. So Abaye explains the psukim according to Rabbi Yoshaya, saying that the psukim are speaking about both items. So one pasuk says, by both items you are chayav, implying that by one you are patur. What is the one that you're patur by if he's only there by she'ilah? Then the pasuk says that if the balim are there, you are patur. That means you're patur only if you do both items, implying that if you only had one, you'd be chayav. What's that one? Shvura meita. If he's only there for shvura meita, you'll still be chayav because he wasn't there at the time of she'ilah. So he explains the psukim according to Rabbi Yoshaya. And then Rava, Savalak, Rabbi Yonatan, Mutarets the cry, Rabbi Yonatan. Rava holds like Rabbi Yonatan, he's going to explain the psukim according to Rabbi Yonatan. D'tanyu, Rashi over here eliminates the term Tanya, but Tanya Idach, and says that these aren't braitot that Abaye and Rava are bringing down, but simply explanations of the psukim according to the position of Rabbi Yoshaya and Rabbi Yonatan. But not here that they're engaging or discussing a braita at all. There are others that think that these are two braitot, that even though they come to the same conclusion, the methodology follows that of Rabbi Yoshaya or Rabbi Yonatan, and therefore you can say Tanya and Tanya Idach. But Rashi was adamant about the fact that this was really a derivative of the positions of Abaye and Rava explaining those Tanaim that have a certain position. How do I explain the Psukim? And you can see that in Rashi. Rashi on the Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph says explicitly that fact, but he also mentions here, V'rava Matarez Lu Batar Da'atei the Rabbi Yonatan, that he follows that position of Rabbi Yonatan, and that's what generates the whole limud over here, not the fact that there's a brighter that he's trying to explain. Im ba'alav imo lo yishalem. If the owners are with him, you do not have to pay. Mashma de'ita bitarbayu, umashma nami de'chi'ita b'chado, v'leta b'chado patur. According to Rabbi Yonatan, when you have a list of multiple items, it can mean all of the items or one of the items. So from here, you would have suggested that if they were there both from beginning by Sheila and at the end by Shvar Meita, you'd be Patur. But also implies if you're only there for one of those two, you'd also be Patur. Uchti, but the Pasuk also says, Balav, Enimo, Shalemi Shalem. That the Balim are not there, you would have to pay. Mashma, Deleita, Betarvayu. That if he's not there for both of them, then you would be chayav. Or in a case where he's there for one of the two, he would also be chayav. Lomar lecha, to teach you. He was there at the time of the borrowing. He does not need to be there at the time of the death. That'll be the case or the inference that if he's there for one of them, he is patur. Which one? The case of Sheila. If he was only there at the time of Shvura Meita, that's the case where he'll be chayav. And therefore, he'll be chayav because he was there only for one. So again, for Rabbi Yonatan, obviously in a case where he's there for both of them, you are patur. In a case where he's not there for either of them, you are chayav. But Rabbi Yonatan will also say that if he's there for one, you are chayav. If he's there for one, you are patur. So how do I explain that? Well, if he's there for Sheila, he will be patur. If he's there only for Shvura Meita, he's going to be chayav. Now the Gemara asks the question, Ipach Ana. How do you know? This is a question both on Rova's explanation according to Rabbi Yonatan and Abaye's explanation according to Rabbi Yoshaya. In both cases, you assumed that the one that he's there for, you are patur, is the Sheila. And the one that he's there for, where you're going to be chayav, is Shvura Meita. The Gemara says, Ipach Ana. Why don't you just flip that and say, the one where you are patur is Shvura Meita, and the one that you're chayav for is by the case of Sheila. Where it says, Mishtavar Sheila Adifa. Sheila makes more sense to be patur. Mishum to come Meita lalu shute. Because that's what brings it into his possession. And that moment is when it enters his possession. Adaraba, Shvura Meita Adifa. No, wait. Just the opposite. Shvura Meita makes sense. That's what generates the chiyuv. Yes, he became responsible at the time of Sheila, but what makes him obligated to pay is the Shvura Meita. So maybe that should be the item that's more important. It says, Ilo Sheila, Shvura Meita, Mayovit. If you never borrow it, then there's no problem of Shvura Meita. Shvura Meita is only relevant in the context of Sheila. Where it says, Ilav Shvura Meita, Sheila Mayovit. You could say just the opposite too. Which is, without Shvura Meita, then there's no relevance by Sheila, because Sheila only becomes a problem when there is a Shvura Meita. Afilu achi Sheila Adifa. Despite that fact, Sheila would take precedence, meaning it's a more important point in the transaction, and therefore, if the Balim are with them at that point of the transaction, that's what generates the Ptur, because Shekein Chayav b'mizonotea, because you become responsible for the animal at that point in time, not only in terms of what happens to the animal, but you also become responsible for the animal to take care of the animal in its basic needs. The Sheila enters you into a world of responsibility. That world of responsibility extends beyond accidents or things that go wrong. It also extends to Mizonot. Or in essence, what we're saying is, without Sheila, there is no Shvura Meita. Well, you said to me before, well, without Shvura Meita, there is no Sheila. That's not true. Because even without Shvura Meita, Sheila makes you chayav in other things, like mizonot, or basic care of the animal. Therefore, Sheila is a more important threshold or point in time. And therefore, if Balavimo is then at Sheila, that will provide a Ptur. Now then, if Balavimo is only by Shvura Meita, that will not provide you the Ptur, based on the way that we've just learned the Tzukim and the Braita, according to Abaye, Aliba de Rabbi Oshaya, and according to Rava, Aliba de Rabbi Yonatan. Okay, we're going to stop here, 16 lines down on the top of Tzadivav Amud Aleph.